Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1977 that several people were arrested in Memphis for what? Was it A, trying to steal Elvis's body? Was it B, public indecency? They were ID'd from photographs taken of nude Woodstock festival goers. Or was it C, sitting in a low-hanging hot air balloon over a sold-out blues concert? Or was it D, singing offensive lyrics in a barbershop quartet? So, 1977 Memphis, arrested for what? And question number two. It was on this very day, back in 1958, that something important happened to the band called The Quarrymen. What was it? Was it A, that was the Buddy Holly Big Bopper band that perished in a plane crash in Iowa on this day in 1958, setting the stage for the song The Day the Music Died? Was it B, the Quarrymen, which became the go-to backup band for Elvis Presley, was founded on this day in 1958? Was it C, George Harrison joined the Quarrymen band on this day in 1958? John Lennon and Paul McCartney were also members of this band. Or was it D, the Quarrymen, a one-hit wonder band from Philadelphia, was the first band to ever appear live on the TV show American Bandstand? Hint, here's a snippet from one of this group's early performances. The Quarrymen. What happened to them on this day back in 1958, anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of August 27th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1889, that Charles G. Conn, C-O-N-N, received a patent for the metal clarinet. Charles Gerard Conn was an entrepreneur, band instrument manufacturer, newspaper publisher, and U.S. Representative from Indiana. 1889, metal clarinet patent today. And it was 58 years ago today, 1963, that Peter, Paul, and Mary performed Blowin' in the Wind before civil rights marchers who had gathered in Washington to hear Martin Luther King Jr. speak. A quarter of a million people attended this event in D.C. 1963, today. Neil Young's Beautiful Bluebird introduces our country music news. It's entitled, A New Start After 60. I became a busker at 79 and 3/4. This is published in The Guardian, 13 August 2021, by Paula Kokoza. Lori Horam never thought of himself as musical. At home, his dad never listened to music, while one of his boarding school teachers labeled him tone deaf. But last month, he started to busk. And while he accompanies on harmonica his guitar-playing friend, Alan Eaton, and people clap, dance, and throw coins into Alan's guitar case for the local food bank, Horam catches himself thinking, how, at the age of 79 and 3/4, do I come to be playing music to people on the streets of Bradford? The question preoccupies him because some years ago, at a family gathering, one of his children said, "You know what, Dad? It can't be coincidental. We must have got our musical abilities from you." He has three sons, two daughters, and a stepson from two marriages. Between them, they cover a range of instruments and genres from techno to rock. Horam was floored. I said, "There can't be music in me because I can't play." But now Horam has begun to wonder, where did the music come from? Did they get it from me or did I get it from them? He has come to understand that this is all related to how we help our children to make the most of who they are. And in a way, that's a service he performs for himself now, almost as a parent helps a child. In lockdown, he says appreciatively, his playing has come on tremendously. 8 years ago, Horam, a retired civil servant, was driving back from a trip to the Yorkshire coast with his eldest son, Gavin, who was visiting from Canada. Gavin wanted to stop at a music shop. He walked out and said, "Here you are. I bought this for you, Dad. It's a harmonica. I'll try to show you how to play a bit." They went to a jam session at their local pub. Gavin played guitar, and Lori sat at the corner with his harmonica trying to make a sound that no one would hear. After 6 months, he was invited into the group. Unable to read music, he discovered a talent for improv, responding to a note within a millisecond without batting an eyelid. "I don't play by ear. I play by heart." Actually, Horam says, "My harmonica plays me, how I feel, what I am, what I've been. I can express myself through music and do it in a very non-thinking way. The harmonica has the same range as the saxophone, 2.5 octaves. As he learns to create a broader range of sounds, he can express a broader range of emotional response. So was there music in his life before he knew it? Maybe, he says. He doesn't know what moves him around the harmonica, but when he plays something that's come from a really strong feeling, he sees his friend smile and shake his head a bit as if to say, "That's so lovely." Music has enriched life with friendship and made Horam feel part of something much bigger than himself. At a time when the scope of life might be shrinking, "Mine is expanding," he says. "Maybe we never know completely who we are or what we can do." Chopin's Polonaise in A-flat major introduces our classical music news. It's entitled Chopin, the Perfect Virtuoso. New collector's edition launched. Gramophone sister title International Piano celebrates the composer's music. This is published in gramophone.co.uk on the 23rd of July, 2021. International Piano, Gramophone Sister Magazine, has just launched a special collector's edition, Chopin, the Perfect Virtuoso. This 100-page publication provides a comprehensive portrait of the great romantic pianist and composer, celebrating his timeless masterpieces and the artists who bring them alive. Drawing on nearly a quarter of a century of expert coverage from International Piano's archive, the volume brings together articles that explore Chopin's key masterworks in recordings by leading interpreters of yesteryear and today. Although, unlike Liszt, Chopin played a relatively small role in the development of piano design, his relationship with the French maker, Pleyel, was intrinsic to the sound of his music. International Piano shows how a fresh wave of interest in historic instruments is helping pianists to discover Chopin's music anew, with all the excitement this entails. So go to online to gramophone.co.uk for details on placing an order. Duke Ellington's Take the A-Train introduces our jazz and swing music news. It's an article entitled Swing Music Guide, Seven Notable Swing Musicians. It's written by the staff of Masterclass.com on June 24, 2021. Swing music is considered one of the biggest evolutionary stages in the history of jazz, and was at one point one of the most popular forms of dance music in the U.S. Swing music is a style of jazz that was performed primarily by the big bands of the 30s and 40s. It was the popular dance music at the time, marked by methodical improvisation, quick tempos, and a sound that was often described as rambunctious. Many jazz musicians in the dance venues where they played enjoyed a surge of popularity and success before the inevitable decline of the era following World War II. But many swing musicians had a lasting impact on the direction of jazz and popular music. The big band movement of the 1920s paved the way for swing music. One of the first popular big bands was the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra, a New York-based band that employed musicians like trumpeter Louis Armstrong. By the late 1920s, big bands in the style of Henderson's orchestra would take the country by storm. In 1927, trumpeter Duke Ellington and his orchestra became the house band at the Cotton Club in Harlem, where the band's sets were regularly broadcast on the radio. And there was, of course, Ellington on piano. The heyday during the Great Depression, as the United States reeled from the Great Depression in the 30s, swing music became increasingly popular. Led by band leaders like Tommy Dorsey, Benny Goodman, and Artie Shaw, swing dance bands thrived through the 1930s, inspiring new popular swing dances like the Jitterbug and the Lindy Hop. In the 1940s, swing music dominated the radio airwaves. Popular vocalists like Ella Fitzgerald and Frank Sinatra brought a new element to the jazz orchestra sound. By the late 1940s, however, the swing era was coming to a close. New York musicians and band leaders like Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie pivoted from the standard swing sound to develop a new style of complex jazz called bebop. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, The Questionable Value of Virtual Collectibles, What You Need to Know About NFTs and the Suddenly Hot Market for Digital Assets. This is written by Lexi Pandel, AARP, the magazine, June 2021 issue. Don't expect your grandkids to spread their newest sports trading cards across the bedroom floor. And that piece of artwork for sale online? It might not go in a frame on your wall. Collectibles are going digital using a technology called non-fungible tokens, NFTs. These are digital assets. They can take forms such as photographs, music, or video clips. Although people may be able to copy an item, ownership of the original is encrypted and cannot be changed unless it is sold and the property is officially transferred to a new owner. Websites such as OpenSea and Variable act as marketplaces and list the prices. Think of them as like Etsy or eBay, but for digital assets. Though the first NFTs appeared online in the early 2010s, the interest in them has skyrocketed this year. A few examples. Kings of Leon became the first major rock band to release a special edition album digitally as a uniquely numbered NFTs. NFL quarterback Tom Brady is launching a company to produce NFTs. Christie's Auction House recently sold a digital collage by an artist known as Beepy or Beeple for $69.3 million. And the NBA Top Shot issues digital basketball cards that feature a game highlight video. Some have since sold for six figures. Some people have come at it like daily fantasy. Some people like it's the stock market, and other people just like collecting. But be forewarned, it's too soon to tell if NFTs are a serious investment or a fad. It's not an investment for novices. Prospective buyers would do best to view it as a game and only play with money you can afford to lose.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations.
The Beach Boys' Good Vibrations introduces our rock and pop music news. The greatest ever songs of the summer ranked from Don Henley to Drake, the hottest sounds of the season. This is written by Michael Craig on the 10th of June, 2021, in The Guardian. Beyoncé's Crazy in Love, from 2003, made the top of the list, but here's a sample of others from the top 20. Coming in at number 17, Don Henley, The Boys of Summer, 1984. Number 15 is Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe, from 2012. Donna Summer's Hot Stuff from 1979 comes in at number 10. And at number 6, it's the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations from 1966. Even now, the Beach Boys' psychedelic pocket symphony sounds like the soundtrack to a sweat-soaked fever dream, or like running on sand and realizing you're not going anywhere, or the musical manifestation of those shapes you see on your eyelids after you stare at the sun for too long. Nice harmonies, too. Bring It On Home by Fireside Collective, one of the many bluegrass bands scheduled to appear at this year's IBMA Festival in Raleigh, introduces our local music news. It's entitled, Planning to Attend the Biggest World of Bluegrass Shows? Make sure you're vaccinated. This is written by Drew Jackson, News and Observer, on the 17th of August, 2021.
I'm just waiting for you. Bring your love on home. Bring it on home. Bring it on home. Oh, you know it's been so long. I'm just waiting for you. Bring your love on home.
The main events at this fall's World of Bluegrass Festival in Raleigh will require proof of vaccinations. Festival organizers announced Tuesday. The International Bluegrass Music Association, which has held its annual awards, music festival, and conference in Raleigh since 2013, announced that attending ticketed shows will require vaccinations. As live bluegrass music begins to reemerge, our emphasis on a safe return cannot be understated, said Mike Simpson, IBMA's board chair, in a release. We have been closely monitoring safety guidelines, and in the interest of everyone's safety, our board of directors has taken the unanimous position that participation in this year's World of Bluegrass begins and ends with safety, requiring proof of vaccination and indoor mask wearing. I'm pleased to say that our discussions were strikingly non-political and focused purely on the best safety measures that we could take for all involved. This will apply to the festival's headlining shows at Red Hat Amphitheater, as well as events at the Raleigh Convention Center and Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts. The festival's vaccine requirement does not include the free events held outside in downtown Raleigh. The World of Bluegrass Festival will be held throughout downtown Raleigh September 28th to October the 2nd. After holding a virtual festival in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the IBMA has planned an in-person Bluegrass Festival for 2021. Among the ticketed acts this year are Bella Fleck, the Del McCurry Band, Steep Canyon Rangers, and Sierra Hull. Our internal surveys, conducted in both March and July, found that more than 90% of respondents planning to attend this year's World of Bluegrass also plan to be fully vaccinated before getting to Raleigh. We have been working diligently with our partners in Raleigh to bring the community together for an unmatched bluegrass experience in a safe environment, and the health and safety of our attendees is our number one priority. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this day back in 1977 that several people were arrested in Memphis for what? Was it A, trying to steal Elvis's body? Was it B, public indecency for Woodstock nudity? Was it C, hot air balloon blues concert crashing? Or was it D, singing offensive lyrics in a barbershop quartet? Correct answer? Answer A. Three people were arrested on this very day back in 1977, Memphis, for trying to steal Elvis's body. As a result of this attempted thievery, Elvis's body was moved to Graceland. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day back in 1958 that something important happened to the band called The Quarrymen. What was it? Was it A, that was the Buddy Holly Big Bopper band that perished in a plane crash in Iowa on this day in 1958, setting the stage for the song The Day the Music Died? Or was it B, the Quarrymen, which became the go-to backup band for Elvis Presley, was founded on this day in 58? Or was it C, George Harrison joined this band, the Quarrymen, on this day in 1958? John Lennon, Paul McCartney were also members. Or was it D, the Quarrymen, a one-hit wonder band from Philadelphia, was the first band to ever appear live on the TV show American Bandstand? And I played a snippet from one of this group's early performances as a hint. Correct answer. Answer C. George Harrison joined the Quarrymen band on this day in 1958. John Lennon and Paul McCartney were also members, and they all left this band and later became the Beatles. By the way, the song I played as a hint, My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean, was recorded as John Lennon and the group were performing a gig in Germany. So let's close out today's program with a tribute to the band that formed thanks to the Quarrymen by playing one of the earliest Beatle recordings, yet another cover, Till There Was You, from The Music Man. Originally written for that Broadway musical.
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.
And wonderful roses, they tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn.